I imagine that this service today is bittersweet for at least some, if not many of you. So for myself, this is my first Christmas service ever in Limmel. And it's also going to sadly be my last. And that's why this evening I wanted to just speak to you for a few minutes about one of the Christmas characters who is so often overlooked. His name is Simeon. I read about him a few moments ago. And those who know me know that I like three-point sermons with alliteration. So we've got three short points this evening: the expectation, the eulogy, and the exposure. And so we'll start with the expectation, because Simeon, he was a man who had waited patiently his whole life. He was there in Jerusalem, and the passage says that he was just and devout. So just means that he was a fair man. He was the type of man that you could trust. He had integrity, and he was a pillar of the community. He had no skeletons in the closet. And yeah, he was a pillar of the community. And devout means that he was faithful, particularly to the things of God. He wasn't a fair weather Christian, nor was he a hypocrite. He's someone who took his faith seriously. He was transparent. What you see was what you got. And we see that he was here in Jerusalem waiting for the consolation of Israel. And really what this means is that he was waiting for all of the promises that God had made to his people in the Old Testament to be fulfilled and come to pass. And he'd been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Christ. And Christ simply means anointed one or Messiah. So Simeon knew at some point in his life, he would see this person. And this day, the Lord led him to the temple where Jesus was going to be. Jewish children had to be consecrated in the temple, and there would likely have been many mothers and fathers present with little boys and little girls. But Simeon is led to the one specific family of Joseph and Mary. So Simeon had this expectation to see Christ. I'd like to ask you what your expectations are this Christmas. Perhaps you expect a great presents when you wake up, or you're looking forward to a dinner with your family. Perhaps some of you are expecting to listen to the King's Speech, or you have other sort of Christmas traditions that you observe. But what about Jesus? Do you expect to see Jesus this Christmas? Not physically in the way that Simeon held him, but the presence of Jesus can be with you this Christmas in a way that is just as real. And this brings me to my second point this evening, the eulogy. The eulogy. See, verse 29, Simeon begins with a prayer. He says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." So in other words, Simeon acknowledges that with this baby, the fulfillment of God's word to him personally, as well as the nation as a whole, has come. And this is a great way to think of Jesus. He is the savior of the whole world. He entered the world with a mission that reaches out and calls to every single person. He died for the sin of the whole world, for every man and every woman and every child. No one is excluded from the salvation that Jesus freely offers. And yet, he is a personal savior as well. He died for you, specifically, individually. He died for me. He's drawing you. And for those of us here who have trusted in him, he has saved us as individuals. For those here who are not yet believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, his hands are open to you. It's a personal offer. Simeon continues in verses 30 to 32 by saying this: "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." And this further supports what I was just saying. When he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation," he would have originally spoken this in Hebrew. And in Hebrew, the word salvation is Yeshua. And interestingly, the name of Jesus in Hebrew is also Yeshua. There's a little wordplay going on, because Jesus is salvation. And again, he's salvation for all peoples, a light to the Gentiles, that's someone like me, and glory for Israel. And so if you're here this evening and you happen to be Jewish, Jesus is the only way you can find salvation. And if you're like me and you're not Jewish, then Jesus is the only way you can find salvation. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, or what you've done. Salvation can be found in Jesus and in Jesus alone. And this brings me to my third and final point this evening, the exposure. We saw in the passage that Joseph and Mary marveled at the things Simeon spoke of. And then Simeon blessed them both as well. He speaks again prophetically that Jesus would be the reason for the fall and rising of many in Israel. His coming would shake things up. But then Simeon adds this interesting little phrase directed at Mary. He says, yes, a sword will pierce your own soul also. There's a relatively modern Christmas carol. We haven't sung it this evening, but it's called Mary, Did You Know? Perhaps you're familiar with it. But the first verse goes like this. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. And the song goes on to ask Mary several more did you know questions, like did you know he's the Lord of all creation, that he would heal the blind and calm storms? And the answer to all of these questions is yes. Yes, Mary did know. She might not have known the exact details of every single thing Jesus would do, but she did know that Jesus had come to save our sons and daughters. She did know that the baby she had delivered would soon deliver her. But Simeon had told her that in doing this, in delivering us, a sword would pierce her own soul also. You see, the gospel accounts tell us that Jesus was arrested, he was beaten, he was crowned with thorns, and then led up a hill towards a place called Calvary to be nailed to a Roman cross. And that while he was there, nailed to that cross, some of his family and some of his followers were part of the crowd around the cross, including his mother Mary. And she stood there watching her firstborn, the God-man, the baby that the angel came to tell her about, slowly suffocating himself to death as he pushed himself up to breathe in and lowered himself to breathe back out. Now, a few weeks ago, my youngest son, he's 5 months old now, George, he was in Derriford Hospital for 3 nights. He had an oxygen tube up his nose and on his little hand, he had an IV drip to keep him hydrated. And it was painful to look at him. But the worst part was when for a day he wasn't allowed milk. And then he woke up and he was hungry and he cried and he did his specific little milk cry and the milk didn't come and the cry got worse and it was worse. And it was a desperate noise. It was gut wrenching. And my wife and I were together at that point. And I've never personally felt such anguish in my own heart as I did when I looked at my little son and I couldn't give him what he needed. Now, Mary's heart likewise would have been pierced as she watched her son die on the cross for crimes he didn't commit. He was the innocent dying on behalf of the guilty, the strong dying on behalf of the weak, the righteous dying for the sinful. And the passage that I read ends by saying this, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I'd like to ask you where your heart is this evening. Where's your heart at this Christmas time? The scriptures paint a picture to us of a Jesus who is the saviour of the whole world, but also of a Jesus who is the judge of the whole world. Jesus is God in human flesh. We've sung Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing this evening. Now, as God, Jesus knows all things. He knows my heart and he knows your heart. He knows everything that I've ever done and everything that you've ever done. He knows every little lie, every time we've stolen, even perhaps every time we've broken the speed limit. Every time you've acted selfishly or had hatred or hostility in your heart towards someone else, he took that upon himself when he died on the cross. Jesus and Jesus alone provides us with salvation. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but has everlasting life. God gave the world Jesus at Christmas time. And Jesus will give salvation freely to all who believe upon him, all who recognize that they have sinned, that they need a savior, and thus turn to him and trust in the work of Christ upon the cross, dying in their place. In Luke chapter 2, we have the first ever Christmas, but we also have the last ever Christmas for Simeon. He was old, and now that he'd seen Jesus, he knew that he could depart and die in peace. Today is the last Christmas service in this building in Lee Mill. And who among us knows where we will be a year from now? This could be your last Christmas too. A few months ago, I lost my grandmother. Last Christmas was her last Christmas. Not that we knew that at the time. Now, life is short. And like Simeon, we must all one day go the way of all flesh. We must leave this life and pass into another. And the only way that we can reach heaven is because heaven first reached down to us by sending us Jesus. So this evening, this Christmas, why not receive the gift that heaven sent, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Saviour? Trust that God will bless these words and thoughts to our hearts this evening.